All right. Well done, everyone. Thank you. Let's welcome Francesco on the present and future of Zeft.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. For this session is about OpenStack and Zeft integration. With a quick glance to the Kubernetes world, here's a quick agenda. I'm going to talk about what have been the integration with Zeft in the OpenStack system, in the OpenStack community in general. What's the status of the art? What has been changed with the Zeft ADM in the bare metal world, and what means having Kubernetes in this picture? There is also a demo, which is, I'm not going to show the demo, but it's linked in the session, so you can feel free to take it later. So, for who is not familiar with the OpenStack project, it's just pretty old at this point. It's infrastructure as a service. As you can see on the right side, there are a lot of projects being part of the OpenStack ecosystem. Each of them provide interfaces to each other, and they cooperate together to provide processing, storage, network resources. You basically can build your cloud infrastructure using all these projects together. It's open source. It's now 13 years old, so it's there are a lot of projects that are stable now, and Zeft is part of this picture in the sense that you can probably don't see this picture very well, but in both compute, in the storage part, we have Zeft that is basically can be used as a backend for Nova, which is the compute processing component. So we can provide ephemeral disks using Zeft as a backend. We have Manila providing object. There is a good providing file. Swift providing object. There is a long story with the integration with Rados Gateway. Glance for images. So basically, all these components you see there in the storage area, they can use Zeft as a backend. And this is a justification to have this integration with these two technologies. Why the integration and why it's relevant? There is the HCI, hyper-converged infrastructures. Operators would can save hardware resources, collocating the compute part of OpenStack, the infrastructure, and OSD nodes. This means that you can save hardware, you can have both technologies together serving as an infrastructure, as a full operational infrastructure. And a couple of things, this is funny, I just asked ChatGPT why Zeft is relevant and why the integration of these two projects is interesting, and I just put there, you cannot see probably this this part on the right, but it's basically my marketing sentence on why this thing is makes sense. And there is scalability, resiliency, it's scalability, and all this kind of keywords that we like a lot. But this session is about orchestrating services, deploying OpenStack and Zeft together. There have been a lot of deployment tools and strategies over the past, and I want just to focus on Zeft Ansible and Zeft ADM, because Zeft Ansible has been the official tool, the most useful tool in the past, and now with Zeft ADM, things have changed a bit, especially in the OpenStack ecosystem. So previously, the approach was, I need my infrastructure as a service. I need to deploy OpenStack and Zeft. I want to describe my entire cluster with tons of variables. And I push that magic button that make it so. So Zeft Ansible was there in this picture. During the deploying of OpenStack, there was this particular part where Zeft Ansible was triggered to deploy Zeft behind the scene. And so the drawback of this solution is that if you need to change anything in your Zeft cluster, you have to run again the playbook, the Zeft Ansible playbook, because there is this Ansible layer that manage everything for you, and it needs to stay consistent with the status of the cluster. So basically, variables and are the human operator is supposed to provide variables and maintain those variables, which is a bit different. Also, it affects scale down, scale up operation, and day two operation, especially day two operation. I want to change something in my Ceph cluster. I need to run the deployment again because Ansible, I can rely on the Ansible hidden potency, basically. But with Ceph ADM, things are a bit different. The status of the cluster is not made by tons of Ansible variables. There is Ceph ADM, which is able to keep the status of the cluster, watch the cluster, and take an action. I want to deploy a new SD whenever I attach a new disk. I can do that. And I don't have to run deployment again or doing any fancy day two operation with my tool that is supposed to manage my infrastructure in general, which is made by both OpenStack and Ceph. And this changed a bit because we had the Ceph Ansible world where we described all our cloud infrastructure. We pushed that magic button and everything was deployed and sometimes broken. But now operators are more aware about the steps, so things have changed because you have to provide networks, and networks means that you want to manage your hardware, you want to build your networks, you want to use, this is specifically for the Tribolo project where we integrated Ceph Ansible in the past and now we're moving to Ceph ADM. And now people should provide the networks, should provide metal, the description of the nodes, and they are just separated steps. The storage, Ceph, is deployed first, so you can start deploying your OpenStack infrastructure with a minimal Ceph cluster already deployed. And when you deploy OpenStack, you can say, I have Cinder, I need volumes, I need the volumes pool, and I can finalize my cluster, creating and configuring the Ceph cluster accordingly. I have Manila, I need CephFS, I can deploy MDS, doing other stuff behind the scene. But it's basically, you're basically aware that according to the service you're deploying in your OpenStack infrastructure, you can enable pieces in your Ceph cluster, and you can just tune it accordingly. At that point, we still have the Ansible layer managing OpenStack and all the infrastructure in general, but at that point, the Ceph cluster is seen as a separated entity. So it's like having an external Ceph cluster, even though you have the same tool deploying both technologies together. And Ceph ADM and the manager, the orchestrator, is that piece in Ceph that is supposed to provide interfaces where the operators can interact with. And it's basically this slide. We still have Ansible doing everything on top, but the orchestrator interface is what you can rely on to make changes in your cluster without having to redeploy everything again, run the Ansible that can take a lot of time if your infrastructure is large. And we don't have any, the operator is not supposed to keep and maintain any variable in the Ansible system. You can just interact with the Ceph ADM CLI, create a spec, which is a little definition of the Ceph service that will be translated by the orchestrator, and it will be deployed as a new daemon in the Ceph cluster. So this is about why it's so easy. Because you have Ansible, at some point you can just bootstrap a minimal Ceph cluster with this command, bootstrap, providing a monitor IP address because networks are already there at that stage, and you can create a spec file that is basically the description of the nodes that should be enrolled in Ceph, and you can just apply them. It's even easier rather than running an Ansible with a lot of roles, execution time, which is long enough, and day two operation are complicated. Are complicated because not just because of this slide, and this is the interaction with the Ceph ADM CLI. You can query the cluster and see the health status. You can see where daemons are placed, you can list the hosts and manage their labels and assign roles to these hosts. You can do a lot of things, but the real point here is that with CephADM, we don't have the need to run again all the deployment of the OpenStack infrastructure. An example of this, of how projects are impacted by this this change, is Manila. It's not just because we need a new version of libRBD, we need to be compatible, and we are changing from CephFunzible to CephADM, but just because we are doing architectural changes to the use cases provided by OpenStack. Manila is that service that carves out CephFS volumes and provides them to the virtual machine within tenants, which means that you have a dedicated network that you can use to mount your shares. And behind the scene, we have CephFS or NFS with Ganesha. In the past, Manila was supposed to use Dbus to interact with NFS Ganesha. And it was complicated because we had to run privileged containers. We had to use this interface to update and manage shares within using Ganesha as a gateway. And from an architectural point of view, we had the an active passive model made by Peacemaker and Systemd. So you basically had Peacemaker owning the virtual IP as an entry point, and then one active Ganesha, even though you have more than one instance. So with some constraints with Systemd. Now with CephADM, there is an interface with the manager, with the NFS cluster, and Manila can use a new driver to interact with this component. So we don't have to do dbus anymore. We don't have to do dbus to the Ganesha container anymore. And that's the new model where we rely on the ingress daemon provided by CephADM. And this ingress daemon is made by HAProxy and KeepAliveD. KeepAliveD owning the VIP as an entry point, HAProxy for load balancing across the and distributing the load across the NFS Ganesha server. It's a better approach. We still have some limitation on this area because considering that Manila is an infrastructure service for OpenStack, but providing shares within the tenant virtual machines, which with a dedicated network, we need client restrictions to avoid other tenants mounting the same share. And there is an effort doing the proxy protocol in Ganesha to make sure that we can use client restriction with this new model, which is the current limitation, basically. Or at least there is some effort to provide floating stable IP addresses to the ingress daemon and skip the HAProxy layer, which is always an additional hope. And in terms of performances, this can be something that has an impact, of course. Last thing, at this point, we had CephFunzible, we have CephADM. What Kubernetes means in this world. We have Rook as a way to deploy Ceph within Kubernetes. Regardless of what of how OpenStack is deployed, we have several combinations of these two things together. You can have converged infrastructure where OpenStack control plane is virtualized, or it can be containerized. So basically using us the same model, the same approach to deploy both, it can be useful because it's a unified approach to manage your infrastructure. It's easy, deployable, and reproducible because Kubernetes poses a standard approach to deploy things. So we don't have any more that flexibility that today is 3.0, but it's easier from that point of view. And the same Ceph cluster can be shared between OpenStack and Kubernetes. We have different workloads. Kubernetes is PVC interfaces provided by Rook. OpenStack is mostly RBD, and your workload runs on virtual machines, and it's usually outside. So you have to reach from the compute node the Rook cluster, the Ceph cluster deployed by Rook, within Kubernetes, which poses some networking challenges that are They can be managed using host networking too. So you're using Kubernetes as a platform to deploy your Ceph cluster, but you are still relying on the host networking to reach it and provide RBD to the outside workload. And that's the point of this slide. There are some things that are not mentioned here, like some tuning in Rook that is supposed to be done to make sure that there is Kubernetes in the middle, so it's not natively the native Ceph cluster we usually have. So at this point, the thing is that we should do some tuning, especially in the HCI world, because hyperconverged is still one of the most popular use cases. And HCI is provided out of the box by Kubernetes. You can tag your infra nodes, you can deploy Rook, you can assign those nodes for OSDs. That's it. But at that point, you have to make sure that both your cluster and the connection is available for the outside workload. So this can be done. It's done by this demo. I'm not going to show this. But it's all there. It's all described. It's all I was describing in this slide. So you can have your OpenStack infrastructure deployed with DevStack or TripleO, and it's still bare metal, and it can consume a Ceph cluster deployed by Rook using RBD. You can still use the CSI, actually, to provide PVC interface. It's not something that it's mutually exclusive, but it's just a good exercise to see how these two technology works can work together in the future, probably. And yeah, just some additional resources for who is interested in looking at these slides offline, and some contacts for the for people in the OpenStack world, if you want to dig more into this experiments. That's it. Thank you very much.